Hello, thank you. Thank you, Françoise, and thank you, Jim, for inviting us to this new edition. Now is the turn of Spain. We will present the introduction. What our question is, what has changed since 2011 to 2019? We will try to talk about the Spain's dilemmas and how it comes from or its change from emigration to an immigration country. Also, how this is related to the demographic and economic transformation in Spain. And we will try to talk about the three factors that explain the policy, the Spanish policy on immigration, and the responses. We will try to do it in 8 minutes, so.
You get 10, she gets 10.
Okay, so. Thank you. So this is part of the data we want to share with you. The first countries are the European Union countries that we would like you to pay attention in the column of the 2018, but also in the columns of changes from 2001 to 2018 and from 2011 to 2018, the last two columns. If you have a look on the first of these change columns, you could see or you could think that the panorama is more or less the same. Spanish is getting or is becoming a country of immigration, so we are receiving different flows of immigrants from different countries. We will talk about when they come and what, why this percentage. But if we have a look of the on the last column, the one from 2011 to 2018, we see that the economic crisis has had a major impact in Spanish demography and Spanish immigration flows. So there are, if you look at that column, you can see that, for example, the one of the majoritarian nationalities in Spain, that is Moroccans, Morocco, stay equal from in those 8 years. And we have some nationalities that were part of the Spanish immigrant population that are stagnation, there is a stagnation or they are declining. We can see some countries that are call us our attention because they keep growing, but we will talk about that afterwards. So this is the general panorama of the changes between 2011 to 2018. And what the immigrant flow of foreigners, what this number accounts in the total population of Spain, we can see that in 2011, that is our starting year in this analysis, the percentage of the foreign-born population or foreigners registered in Spain were to 12.2, so it was similar to countries of nation of immigration at some at that point. But you can see the impact of the economic crisis mainly after that year. You can see that the percentage in the of for related to the Spanish population has gone down. What has changed? Or to summarize this, we can say that during these years, most immigrant groups have shown negative rates of growth. We can see that, for example, the Ecuadorians, that was one of the population that grew mainly in the 2000 around the Aznar preferences for Latin American immigration. They were growing and they were a large part of the immigrants in Spain. They decreased during these years, and we will talk about that, but they are part of the emigration in these years. They so, we had an emigration flow since the economic crisis started in 2008. So part of those who emigrate were going back or were going to their country of origin. They were not only immigrants, but also Spaniards, those who were born in Spain till the 2000s, so children and families. And another part of Spanish people who emigrate during the economic crisis were to Northern European countries. They were young, educated, and so on. But there is another thing that is important, that is our relation to Venezuelans and Venezuelan crisis. During this year, we've received the flow of Venezuelans to Spain in those years have gone to assist or have grown at 60%. Also, there are two nationalities that are not important in number, but have keep growing during all this year, that are Russians and Chinese. They were not involved or they were not pessimistic about the economic crisis, and they keep arriving on those years. We have to think on the globalized business and globalized economy in this aspect. Maybe it's a good explanation for that. And another point is that there has not been a significant change in population and dynamics during this year. Spain, it's just a bit below. It's 46 million people since 2008. So it has been a time of more or less a stable situation in terms of demographic terms. And also, this is what I was saying about the Spaniards who have gone abroad during the economic crisis. In 2009, there was 1.4 million Spaniards residing abroad, but today they are 2.5 million. The flow is stopping, but we, in the first trimester of 2019, says that they are still going outside, so that is or abroad, so that is an important point. And another point that we've been discussing preparing this chapter is about fertility rates. That is a huge problem in Spain, and we consider or we are discussing about the importance of foreign population or immigrants' fertility rates in order to change the demographic situation in Spain. That is an aging population with a pension system that is has clear problems. But we've seen that fertility rates among foreigners and Spaniards get very close just some years or 1-2 years after arrival. So it was 1.3 among Spaniards and 1.6 among immigrants. So it's really similar, or gets very similar with the time. So what are the dilemmas we talk about in the chapter and we want to share with you? Considering that the Spaniards have less negative perspective on immigration compared on other EU countries, because we've seen that the public opinion in Spain has not changed to the way that our colleagues from Italy were saying. It's more or less stable. It was worse, or it was more opposed to immigration around the 2000 than now. So taking this into account, and the second point is that we have no very important anti-immigrant party. We have Vox, that is a new party, but they are not extreme right party in the sense of some European countries. I have no time to explain that, but we will come back if you want. Why is Spain more proactive to immigrants, and why are we not welcoming immigrants if we need them to sustain our welfare state and our pension systems? So I leave the floor to Miriam.
To answer some of the questions that Ruth posed, considering that it is possibly in Spain's interest We'll try to explain that. Just to put an introduction to the Spanish case, like other countries, Spain has faced similar dilemmas than other countries. On the one hand, it really needs these migrants because it has a major demographic problem. It has the depopulation of major areas of the country. It also needs it to stimulate economic growth. On the other hand, it has also the imperative to protect us Europe's southernmore border, to protect the Spanish population from job displacement and wage depression, to avoid the emergence of xenophobia, and to maintain the balances of national and cultural composition, which is very important in the Spanish case. We'll see why. So, over the years, while Spain overwent this transition to an immigration country, as Ruth explained, 12% almost of the population was foreign-born, so it was a very, very fast transition. Spain responded in very different ways to these dilemmas. On the one hand, it tolerated entrance and it enacted major regularization processes, five major regularizations. I'll mention later on about one of them. It enacted important guest worker programs at a moment that they weren't happening in other places with major source countries. And it pursued very proactive integration and very innovative integration policies. At the local level, for example, it used the concept of co-development that was started in France, but in Spain it took a very different story because Spain has a more decentralized system. So co-development was very different. It really experimented a lot. It also had a national plan for integration, a very ambitious one that has influenced other countries in Latin America, for example. At the local level, there was a lot of being done, and Blanca can tell us more about the experience of Barcelona, for example, where it became a very innovative country. But also, it protected native workers by tying legal state to work permits. To be legal, you have to have a work permit, but it varies by nationality. I will mention that a little later. And also, the guest workers were tied to the labor, to the needs of the labor market, and that I will explain why that happened. And being the southernmost border point for Europe, it enacted the Plan Africa, but because it also tried to maintain a face of not being only the policeman of Europe. The plan supposedly advocated for development, even though a lot of the money that was used for that plan was used really for immigration control or supporting countries in immigration control, but still it had a developmental view. Today, Spain faces similar dilemmas because it still has a major demographic problem. If you read the newspapers in Spain, you'll see that it has a major depopulation problem, very serious. The demographic growth that Spain experienced in the last few years was really tied to migration. When migration stopped, the population of Spain stopped growing, so it's a major problem for the country. So, really, it's in Spain's interest to stimulate again migration, unless Spanish women start having more kids, which seems unlikely for now. So, is it possible to consider that Spain may have a more proactive integration policy to attract new immigrants, especially in this context when the legitimacy of the political community is contested because of the reigniting of nationalism, but also in the current environment within the European Union that has moved to the right much more than Spain actually has. Just to skip all of this, in Spain, immigration has been tightly linked with the developmental model and economic growth. When immigrants started to come, it was related to the entrance into the European Union and the developmental model, which was mostly focused on the service sector, tourism, but also construction, the real estate boom, and migrants also work in the agricultural industry and agriculture and industry in lesser ways, but still It really, the country really required low-skilled migrants for the type of developmental model that was pursuing. So that was very important for Spain. So what explains also the responses that Spain had, and what was Spain willing to bring all these migrants and the way it pursued immigration? And well, one of the things that has three factors we mentioned. One has to do with notions of political community that Spain had. One of the important concepts is the concept of the Ibero-American nation. Spain has kept a very strong tie with Latin America. It considers Latin America to be part of the Spanish tradition. It doesn't come from the time when it became part of the European Union. It comes from before. Since the Franco era, there have been citizenship laws that favor people coming from Hispanic countries and from countries that have been colonized by Spain in Africa. There is an extended notion which has to do with the Spanish past and has benefited Sephardic Jews, which is the idea of the multicultural experience that Spain had historically, and in some ways that has been extended to Jews, though not to Moroccans, which also could claim that they have been in Spain for a very long period of time. So Moroccans complain about that because it's been very ambiguous, but it has benefited Jews. But these historical traditions have really determined membership into the political community, who can and who can belong. Also, an important thing that has determined Spain's responses, and there is a concept of interculturalism that's also important to mention, that Spain came up with its own concept, which wasn't melting pot, wasn't multiculturalism, but was something more keeping differences becoming part of, which is an interesting aspect, though in some ways it had some bias against Muslims. We have to acknowledge that. Also, the important thing about Spain is the national and cultural diversity of the country, which in some ways encourage elites to be more open to tolerate the difference, and we believe that's also an important factor. And also the institutional arrangements, the fact that Spain has a corporativist pattern of representation of socioeconomic interest. Most of the decision-making during the era when all these migrants came was taken in negotiations between the government, the unions, and the business community in very close committees. Really, I did once interviews, and they were like 8 people negotiated the amnesty that Spain would have. So it was really a very small clique of people. And also the highly decentralized political system that has granted subnational authorities a lot of involvement and engagement in the way immigrants would be integrated. So just to be very fast, another very important factor in determining Spanish responses is obviously, as I mentioned, the role of the European Union, which at different times has opposed to Spanish decision-making. For example, in 2005, when Spain chose to do an amnesty based on the labor market, not regularizing the migrants, properly speaking, but regularizing the employers. And that was very bold for European standards, and the European Union complained about the Spanish response. But on the other hand, there is Plan Africa, which in many ways tries to satisfy the requirement of the European Union to act as a policeman state, even though Spain tries to justify it in this notion of development. So just to make it going to the conclusions, Spain has been able now, after a very long economic decline, to stabilize its economy. But it still hasn't been able to accomplish the transition that it wanted, that is, was to move into a more knowledge-based economy. It still depends a lot on the service sector, and it still has, again, a major demographic problem that was the original problem it had when it joined the European Union. So this suggests that it will need to attract new migrants. So the possibilities are for it to have, again, guest worker programs, like it had recently, and also to try to attract, if it wants to move into a knowledge-based economy, more qualified migrants. Spanish preference most likely would be Latin America, because it really had a close tie to Latin America. But That would be hard because Latin America right now is also facing a convergence to more advanced countries demographically. And except for the case of Venezuela and maybe Northern Triangle, but still Salvadorian migrants are, Salvadorian refugees are arriving into Spain, but very small numbers really, even though it has grown a lot, but still it's very small numbers. Or Venezuelans, it really is not attracting this population. Just to mention, because I didn't go, the refugees seem not to be also a solution for Spain in the sense that not a lot of them are coming in large numbers. Spain wasn't a major recipient of refugees. Only recently, when the boats arrived, the Aquarius story that you may have heard, that's another story where the European Union reacted to Spanish response, but the new president of government, Sanchez, immediately kind of went back and corrected his position and aligned with the European Union again. And so, anyway, well, the conclusion is, what would be the solution for Spain? To what extent Spain would be willing to stomach African migrants, which most likely are the most likely to come, if it really wants to address its own economic needs and its demographic needs. Yeah, so thank you so much.
Gracias, Mireia.